Khan show with Anna DeBlancis. No, she's on. Anna DeBlancis is on.
Previously with Anna DeBlancis.
Kevin Powell on sports. Lauren Lapka on the traffic and the corrections of things. And then the weather, too, somehow.
I don't know, Kevin jumped on that before I could say anything about the correction right there.
Anna DeBlancis.
And Kim Gordon, of course, on the news. Of course, Anna DeBlancis is a longtime co-host of this radio program. And now you can hear Anna from 1 to 3 every afternoon right here on 720 WGN. That's what I meant to say. Mm-hmm. But old habits die very hard, especially when you're stoned. Speaking of that, Andy Seeger is with us. He is the cannabis research manager at Brightfield Group. Now, there's a reason that we brought Andy in with us today, because there was some confusion here. People are very upset, even people who are not even going to take part in the marijuana consumption here now that it's legal in the state of Illinois. People are upset that Illinois still screwed this up in some way, or it feels like they screwed it up in some way, because we're always looking for a mistake that's been made. And in the first couple days of having marijuana being legal, you had a number of these dispensaries just run out of the product. In part, as we explained yesterday, it's because all the stuff that's being sold, all the product being sold in dispensaries in Illinois has to be produced in Illinois.
Correct.
Right? And so the production line is limited and wasn't fully up to speed. But then people are like, well, still, why didn't they plan ahead? So, Andy, still, why didn't they plan ahead? How does that work?
Yeah, I think we have to take this in context. This is one of the better rollouts, even with its problems. Every rollout has problems. Every rollout will have shortages. Every rollout will have regulatory challenges and hurdles to overcome. Every rollout will have some unknowns going out. I think one of the things here that we have to keep in mind is that this was a very accelerated rollout. This went from legislation, the first in the country, to actually be a bill that passed from our legislation. It was signed by our governor. It was part of his platform that he ran on. And then it became a bill and became into law all last year, and then January 1, obviously. So that's at a very...
So other states had gone in a longer period of time than that?
It's all been referendum, so it's a ballot initiative. They know that they want it. They say they want it on a ballot, and then they vote for it, and then the government has to supply the structure. And they can take as long as they want to. Maine is sitting on 2 years worth of just sitting on a bill that said that they should have legalized marijuana.
But if people are already investing in doing that without knowing that it's finally going to get done, I mean, doesn't that until it's actually done? Because I know here in Illinois, you know, when the medical part started, and we mention this all the time, and it's because it's worth talking about. The first people who were involved in this, did the medical dispensaries and the medical grow centers, had to give $250,000 non-refundable with their application to do that business. So if you got turned down for the business for any reason, you lost $250,000. And so the price of entry was very high.
Very, very
high. And there were a lot of companies that were like, all right, I don't want to risk in Illinois with the politics of going in and then getting screwed.
Yeah, the risk of the barriers to entry are very high for everybody. Until we see this next trench come out of small business and minority owners, the barriers of entry of cost of what you need, somebody to proofread your application, lawyers to look over it, different ideas, all these cost money. And they cost people that aren't in the industry or haven't had their...
Yeah, it's not a one-page application.
No. There are multiple points, and there are people out there getting every point. You know, we are told that there are... if there are 50 licenses in the city limits or so, 47, we're told that there's over that many perfect scores in terms of how many were charged or how many were given perfect scores by the state.
Wow. You talked about how Maine and Lauren, I know you've talked about Oregon has all like warehouses full of it.
Mm-hmm. Surpluses. Surpluses. Crazy amount.
Obviously, there are restrictions, Hoptober. Though, because they have to, right, it has to be grown in Illinois. Yep. Obviously, something would have to happen at the federal level, but will there be an opportunity for states to purchase it from other states?
You know, that's interstate commerce, and that gets into further federal things. The federal government right now has kind of taken its hands off a lot of things. There are some other movements that have gone through the Congress in various steps, protecting banking, protecting states' acts more and more, but they haven't quite passed. So the federal government is still very much behind. So the states are very weary of doing anything to make the federal government even take a couple steps back. Interstate commerce would do that. But we have seen Oregon has passed a bill that said that they are open to shipping across state lines if somebody would like to take their excess of supply.
But wait a second. Doesn't that screw the manufacturers? Like, let's say in Illinois.
Yep.
Let's say the federal government tomorrow decided they're going to make this all legal, interstate commerce of it all legal. So now all of a sudden Oregon has got nothing but warehouses full of Skeech, can just now say, all right, we're going to FedEx it to you in Chicago and you guys can, you know, do whatever you want with it. The people who are the growers here who have spent millions upon millions of dollars for these really complicated grow centers, people who have, you know, if you've seen these things on television, they are incredibly complicated pieces. It's not just agriculture, it's 21st century science, and there's a big dollar amount, and then those people will be SOL, and that's a technical term.
That kind of change could come and completely capsize the entire industry, and a lot of states, I think you would see, would have protectionist views on what they wanted their marijuana policy to be in terms of national presence. But this could very well become a national market. We argue it almost is a national market, given that companies are moving between these states and setting up their footprints in multiples of these states.
Because you have big companies that have these things, but they're working state by state as opposed to across state lines.
Yes, exactly. And they're getting really, really good at it, and they're getting at scale. So, you know, the industry and the scale is about to be there. This has hit critical mass, and we're not going back. So this is here to stay.
Well, can I ask you, I want to take a quick break. On the other side, I want to ask you about investment in this, because people are, you know, everybody's like, oh, man, I got to get involved in this early on.
Going to have some money.
Yeah, it was a fun Thanksgiving dinner, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'll bet. I mean, because people want to, even if they don't want to be a part of this, they see that it's going to be, it's potentially very profitable, and, you know, they don't want to miss out. I mean, just imagine if you'd invested in alcohol, right, in the 1930s.
Apple.
I think that's the idea, right? Or Apple early on, or whatever it is. This is an interrupter, and it's a big deal. So we'll talk to Andy about that on the other side. Andy Seeger is with us, who is he's an expert in all this. That's all you need to know at this very moment. All right, let's check in with Lauren. What's happening in the traffic and the weather? Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. All right, we got Supertramp tickets coming your way after next hour. Also, a top five at five, which is going to include, that's the list of the top five things that we think you should hear today on your way home, including some of the stuff that's happening downtown, some of the crime stuff, the interesting audio from that. The business owner says he's been robbed twice in 2 weeks. He doesn't know what the hell to do about it. And it's not funny, but it's laughable. And then there's a coyote on the loose in the Gold Coast. How residents are responding to that. All right, we are talking to a weed expert here, Andy Seeger. And he is the cannabis research manager at Brightfield Group. And we were talking, last question I asked you, there's a lot of mechanics to all of this. And one of the things is, why is it that it's taking so long for Illinois to get the product being grown and all of that? And that seems to be, that will be, the supply chain will eventually meet up with demand at some point, or at least catch up with it. This is happening to other states, as you point out. The weed does take a while to grow, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it is a weed. Yeah. So from seeds in the ground to a usable plant, how long is that?
You can do anything from about 10 to 12 weeks on the short side, and then you're going to need to dry that and process it from there on. So it's going to take a number of months for legal in the ground plants to come all the way to market.
And these grow facilities, mm-hmm. Which are mostly indoors, right? Mostly in the hydroponic world, like that's not like out in the field like corn is being grown here, right?
Yeah. More and more we are seeing sun grown. That comes with problems of cross fertilization and cross fertilization with hemp that has no THC, which would be a problem.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of the stuff in Illinois is going to be medical. That's going to come from grow houses.
Yeah. Okay. And that's fun when you see those grow houses. All right. Now, how do we make money in this? We don't want to get stoned, but we do want to make money off of this business. What's the way to do it?
Yeah, I think right now there's a lot of volatility. This last year we saw a lot of the capital markets dry up for some of the valuations. The valuations were probably in a bubble compared to a lot of these companies. We saw some big numbers out there. You know, Constellation Brands here in Chicago acquired Canopy a couple of years ago for a very large
number. That's a Canadian company, right?
Yeah, Canadian company. And they're partnering and they're doing a hemp farm in New York and they're going to bring down some CBD products all of a sudden now. But, you know, Canopy is very, very big up in Canada.
Because New York's not, hasn't gone legal yet.
Has not. So they have a hemp farm up by their Canada Degwa facility for other things. But yeah, there's a lot of volatility here. And we're seeing some stalwarts, some very big companies that in the beginning, the MSOs, the multi-state operators, some of the ones that were moving and shaking are now a little bit in a bind. The capital is kind of dried up. There's a lot of churn. There's a lot of volatility.
So the capital is dried up. So I'm assuming these would be private equity kind of investors who are helping them out, because it can't be, it's not on the stock market. right?
No, unless you wanted to go to the Canadian stock market or another sort of
foreign stock market, right? But and the domestic stock markets, because it's, again, not federally legal, it's a risk, and so private equity can invest in it.
Yep.
But private equity investing in it can also lead to a lot of questions, because these private equity guys, I don't know if you've ever met them, but they are all business.
Speculative.
Yeah. They love the idea of it, but if it turns on you in just a little bit, if it's not making 40% an hour, they get mad about it.
Yeah.
So this is, and it's slowing up, right?
It is, yeah. And we saw there was a conference here in Chicago just a couple months ago to match venture capitalists with these kind of companies that are needing the startup funds. So,
but it's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge. Placing your money anywhere right now is very, very risky, because we don't know. The next Bud Light for marijuana has not been made yet. It's going to be a lot of small brands until these pick up and they find their niches and they really run.
So, we know the computer has been made, but who knew it was going to be Apple?
Sure.
And then when you get beyond Apple, who knew that in terms of marketing,
iPhones,
who's going to be Google, right? Who's going to be the because all of those things are going to be there. All right, so right now you'd sort of keep your powder dry a little on this, pardon the expression?
Yeah, there are some companies out there doing it well. Edibles had a really good year this year. They really increased their ability to have rapid onset times, more bioavailability.
That was a problem.
That is just, it's industry speak for chemistry. But basically, it hits you a little bit more like a beer now. So they're shortening that time so that you don't have that bad edible experience.
Yes, because people were taking them, and an hour later, not feeling anything, then taking two or three more, and the next thing you know, they're in an emergency room talking to their hand.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about... Let's talk about pot all day long. I read this article over the weekend about, I think the Tribune had it, about the, you might have even been quoted in as far as I know, that there's a lifestyle to this. There are people who are using THC-based products from the minute they wake up till they go to bed.
Absolutely. Yep. So within our study, or within our research, we have identified a group of people that we call microdosing mamas. They're usually tending to be female, but they use very low dosages. We're talking about 1 milligram to 2 milligrams at a time throughout the day, kind of taking the edge off, or it's anxiety, or it's a little bit just of a stress and calm.
Dealing with the kids.
Yeah. There are some ratio stuff that they mix in some CBD for a little bit of calmness. That microdosing is a niche as well. But on the opposite side, there's macrodosing. So this industry has something for everyone.
That'd be Kevin, the microdosing.
Well, I think there are a lot of people that are rule followers. They're not going to, they, now that it's legal, some people, you basically create a whole new market of people who say, well, I've kind of been on the fence about it, but it's legal, so maybe I'll dabble
jump
into
back
it, jump
in.
Back into yeah. it, or Which never is- try for the first time. I can't believe I'm even asking this question, but what's like a good starter kit for someone who hasn't really done it or for many years, or is just getting into it and wants to try it out?
Sure. One of the segments we have is called a boomerang, and it's the boomer that used to use and stopped for a long time and now is back, and they need to like kind of figure it out again. I gave
Grandpa.
My mom a pen that has no button on it, and she can just take a drag and have a USB cord when it goes out. Otherwise, pick yourself up a joint. It's going to be not the highest quality, but it's going to be very, very easy for you. There's no accessories. You can dabble in flower. That's how most people get into it.
Okay, wait. We have to explain the lingo here.
Yeah.
So flower is like what we use. That's actual, the green, that's the stuff that we used to roll in the joint, right?
In little baggies.
Yes, right. That's
little
the
grinder.
Actual.
Yeah,
the little stuff. Right, that's the flower. That's what they call it. And if people want to roll a joint, you said it's not going to be the highest quality. What does that mean?
Usually the stuff that goes into joints is the bottom of what comes out of when they process all the weed. It's loose shake is a term. So sometimes there are very high quality joints out there that have either keef or oil or other things in them that will increase the THC potency. But a lot of the times the bottom level product is used for joint.
Okay, what about people that don't know how to inhale but are afraid of the edible stories that we were just talking about?
Yeah, if you're afraid of the edible stories, the moniker is start low, go slow. Mm-hmm. So you can do a 1, you can do a 2.5 and see how that takes you. There are other...
What is a 1 and a 2.5?
Milligrams. So
okay.
That's one of the things that people are going to need to get more educated about, and that is out there for the industry, is consumer education. Think of milligrams as kind of an ABV, like a beer. So 5 milligrams is roughly about average, is what the normal person could take and feel something. Cutting that down and going to the micro, to the 1s, the 2s, that's where you kind of start low and go slow. From there on up, there are other things.
You
like
don't
topicals.
Want paranoia taking over here,
because
that's the thing. And I dabbled a little bit in high school, and I couldn't do it because I would get immediately
panic attacks.
Yeah, know? Panicky. So and
this stuff is atomic now, so you might want to watch out now.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? I mean, that so you have to, if you really want to get into this and try to save my liver, although I don't know if this helps my liver. I haven't quite figured that out yet. But it is a slower, like you said, it's you got to start slow and see what you can actually tolerate.
Yes, everybody's going to be different. So, you know, what works for one person may not work for another. So when you're at your dispensary, get a bud tender that is willing to answer questions. And if they won't answer questions, go to another dispensary, because bud tender should be there to help answer any questions that you have about these products. And you should leave feeling good about the product you have. So if they're not going to answer questions, or they're not there to really ask you the questions that will get you to that product, find someone else.
All right. Andy Seeger, cannabis research manager. I love that business card right there.
They didn't like pothead. So,
Stoner at large.
Oh my God. In high school, they were like, you're a pothead. Yeah. You're not going to end up anywhere, my friend.
And now I'm head of pot. So.
Andy, we'll talk to you again. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
We got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes.
The live and local sound of Radio Chicago, 720 WGN.